If you remember last time I spoke with you, we talked about God's gift of forgiveness. That's a gift He gives us once we give our hearts to the Lord. He puts that forgiving spirit in us that comes along with the Holy Spirit. This week I want to talk about a lifestyle of forgiveness. There's a gift. Once we've received the gift, now we've got to live it. And our scripture lesson comes from Ephesians 4, verses 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom we are sealed for the day of redemption. We get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let's pray. Kind Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning, Lord, asking you to give us understanding and knowledge of your scriptures, Lord, and help it embed it in our mind, our heart, and our spirit, Lord, that we may be able to live it, and that we will live it through your help and through the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus. And amen. Amen. It's funny how the lessons that we've already talked about this morning and the verses that you read and already talked about forgiveness. So God is in the house. God is talking to us about forgiveness. We've got to be able to forgive. Showing mercy to those who hurt us does not come naturally. We immediately want our flesh comes out in us, doesn't it? Whenever we get hurt or somebody says something mean to us or we get our feelings hurt, and immediately we want to lash back, don't we? We want to lash back. But God commands us to be merciful in Luke 6. Verse 36, he who has shown divine mercy are to practice a lifestyle of forgiveness. Who, read again, he who has been shown divine mercy are to practice a lifestyle of forgiveness. We have been shown divine mercy by Christ going to the cross and dying for our sins. He has shown us divine mercy. And he says, forgive. So we need to forgive. Because Christ forgave us, Jerry, for our sins. How can we not do what Christ instructs us to do? In 1 Peter 1, verse 16, it says, as it is written, be holy because I am holy. Those are the words of Jesus. He is giving us instructions to be holy. Because he is holy, we are to live as Jesus did. And a forgiving heart is living as Jesus did. So the question is, why don't we? Sometimes we let our pride get in our way. We are angered and treated with disrespect. Sometimes we're passed over for a job or even ignored in general. At other times we get focused on other people. The refusal to change. So we withhold mercy until they improve their behavior. Now, how silly does that sound? But it's true. People will say, well, until he changes his ways or she straightens up, I'm done with them. Have you ever heard that? Mm-hmm. I've heard that. Well, how can we say that? And how can we live that and say that we are children of God? You know, the things that the United Methodist Conference is going through. Until they change their ways or until they do this or do that. It's okay for the separation, but we can't hate. We've got to forgive. We've got to love. We're in control of nothing. God is in control. Whatever happens with the United Methodist Conference and the things to be, I know this wasn't even part of my scripture today, but the Lord has put it on my heart to say it. God is going to take care of it. In Psalms 27 verse 14 it says, wait on the Lord. Be courageous and wait on the Lord. We're to wait on the Lord for our answers. When we're praying about something, we've got to wait on the Lord. It says in the scripture, and that's not what Aaron Westfall is saying. That's what it says in the Bible. So we got to wait on the Lord for the Lord to help us get through this. Our minds are filled with such pain that we become stuck on the past and cannot see how we're able to forgive. Have I kicked anybody in the shins yet? I've kicked myself in the shins a couple times already. I told you and I shared with you, you know, a couple Sundays ago, I was mad at a family member for 10 years. We get within striking distance, I wanted to throw fists with them. But I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Well, how can I say that when I'm feeling that way? It comes right back to I was not living a lifestyle of forgiveness. I had the spirit of forgiveness in me through the Holy Spirit. When I got on my knees and gave my heart to the Lord a long time ago. But I wasn't living it. We got to live it. We got to live it. Right? Got to live it. A lifestyle of forgiveness. An unforgiving attitude can have all sorts of unwanted consequences. Hear what I'm saying, folks? An unforgiving attitude can have all sorts of unwanted consequences. One of them is includes a broken relationship, emotional bondage, and indifference towards the Lord. The longer we hold out on anger, the more it will affect our fellowship, not only with other people, but also with our Heavenly Father. I want you to think about it. Every one of us here wants a spirit of peace. We all want a spirit of peace. But to have that spirit of peace, we've got to be able to forgive. We've got to live as Jesus did and forgive people to have that spirit of peace. Everybody in here, when we're in turmoil internally, we're not at peace. If that means we're angry at somebody or somebody hurt our feelings or whatever, if we're living that way, we're not at peace. It's hard on us. It's hard on us physically and only emotionally, and not emotionally, and it puts a divine crinkle with our intimate relationship with God. It does. God loves us. He doesn't want us to live that way. He doesn't want us to live that way. The longer we hold on to anger, the more it will affect our fellowship with other people, but also our Heavenly Father. It is hard for us to pardon those who tell lies about us. How many of us has been lied on? I'm the warden at a prison. That happens about 4 times a week. Well, the warden said this. The warden did that. The warden thinks this. Warden. Yeah. Does it anger me sometimes? Yeah. Hey, Gene, if you punch me in the nose, I'm going to bleed. If I punch you in the nose, you're going to bleed. That means we're flesh. We're flesh. We're humans. But praise the Lord, we've got the Holy Spirit living in us. And praise the Lord, we know the time that we feel that way, we've got to go back to the Lord and repent of our sins. That's a sin. That's a sin. Not being angry is not a sin because Jesus has been angry. He cleared the temple out when he was in there doing the bad things in the temple. He took a whip in the temple door and cleaned the house. He ran the sheep and the goats and the donkeys and the people and everything out and flipped the tables. I bet you Jesus was angry. I bet he didn't go through the temple saying hallelujah square when he was doing it. He was laying the throttle to them. I could just see it. But he loves us. And he forgave those people. He forgave them. I know he did. He forgave them. So when we're battling our things, when the old United Methodist Conference is wanting to go one direction, and we're going to go a different direction because it's right, or whatever happens, we've got to forgive them. We've got to forgive those people that's making those decisions that be. We've got to forgive them. Because God's going to take care of it, I'm telling you. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The Lord's going to take care of the situation. I just know He is. I just know He will. But we can't withhold mercy. God calls us to forgive just as He forgave us. And with His help, we can do that. I want you to look at verse 29. I want to read verse 29 again. And I want to talk about it just for a few minutes. I'm almost done. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In verse 29, it says, we demonstrate godliness through our mouths. Just think of how many things and what you said to people that demonstrates godliness coming out of your mouth. Then I want you to go back and think of how many things you said that doesn't demonstrate godliness that comes out of your mouth. We've all done it. If you want an example of unwholesome talk, just turn on your TV or your radio. Listen to the conversations around you. If you're still working, if you're out in public, just listen to the conversations around you. Now, this is what I want you to think about. Even better, listen to your own words for a day. Ouch. Listen to your own words for a day. How you talk to people. The tone of your voice. What you say to people. How you say it. There are some times, including my wife, she thinks I'm sounding mean, but I've got a big mouth. I can't hear. I talk loud. And sometimes people mistake as me being hateful. And I'm not. I'm not. By the way, I'm going to get a hearing check next time I go to the doctor. But it's just those kind of things. Now my wife's got me said, I consciously try to keep the tone of my voice down when I'm talking. And I do. But that's what that means. We've got to adhere to what we're saying. We listen to our own words, then we'll evaluate them through the grid of Ephesians 4:29. I ain't going to read it again, but just read 4:29 again, then compare it how you talk. Nothing we say should be corrupt. What that means, unholy. We shouldn't be talking unholy. Unhealthy to others, destructive or detrimental. Instead of words should benefit others and build them up. And you and I should never underestimate the power of a kind word. How hard is it to just say something nice to somebody? You know those people in your lives that you just don't quite get along with, you know, in your workplace or your family or whatever it may be. I challenge you to say one nice thing to that person at least once a week if you see them. If you see them every day, maybe once a day. We have got to be kind. We have got to shine our light as Jesus Christ shines His light. We've got to be that God that everybody looks at and says, I know exactly what you stand for. There's no doubt what Gene Jackson stands for because how he handles himself, how he talks to people, how he demonstrates his love and kindness. That is what we need to do as Christians. That is what we need to do as Christians. I'm almost done. I want to talk just a couple seconds, a couple minutes, about, that's a good one, about grieving the Holy Spirit. And that's in verse 30. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We were sealed by the Holy Spirit when we gave our hearts and life to the Lord. In Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, he promises that he sealed us for the day of redemption. He has marked us with the Holy Spirit. I was telling the folks out of Ball Chapel this morning, we give too much credit to the devil, and we talk about too many times in the book of Revelation, when they talk about going through tribulation, the mark of the beast. Why don't we talk about the mark of the Holy Spirit? Why don't we talk about the goodness of God that planted that seal on us? Why don't we talk about that? I'd rather, much rather talk about that. Because I know when I'm sealed and I'm planted with the Holy Spirit where I'm going. He promises that in the Bible. If you don't believe me, look it up. Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. He promised us that. Did you know that we can short circuit the effective work of the Holy Spirit in our lives by grieving Him? Paul wrote, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? We grieve Him when we disobey God's commandments and we choose to act in unrighteous ways. The key word in that little sentence was choose. Everything we do, we choose. God didn't make none of us robots. He died on the cross for our sins, but He still gave us that free will of making those choices. But we have the Holy Spirit living in us to help us make the right choices. And we choose, that grieves the Holy Spirit. That hurts God's feelings because He loves us. We're His children. It's just like our kids, when our kids do something that hurts her, maybe it hurts her feeling, it grieves us as parents. No, it's not any different. We grieve God when we break His commandments. We don't live by the Holy Spirit. The Ephesians knew very well that it was not godly to lie, steal, remain angry with one another, or speak cutting or hurting words to each other. They knew such evil things give the devil a foothold. And when I say that, once when we're grieving the Holy Spirit, when we're not living a righteous way, we're just allowing the devil to slip into our lives and gain that foothold. It talks about that in the full armor of God when we're talking about putting on the full armor of God. We've got to put the full armor of God on every day to help prevent that. The old devil, he's constantly beating on us, isn't he? Constantly beating on us. But we've got to have faith and we've got to be strong to battle Satan. And how we battle the devil is through the gospel. It's through the word. That's how we battle it. In the book of Ephesians, full armor of God, this is our two-edged sword. It talks about the sword. This is our sword, the Bible. That's how we battle. Paul lived and ministered among them for 2 years, and his ministry had a powerful impact on the entire city of Ephesus. He admonished them by the compromise of faith by doing the two things among the believers. He began with the basics of Christian faith and taught them how to live godly lives. You know, it's one thing to give your heart to the Lord, but then you've got to learn how to live a godly life. All of a sudden, everything isn't just going to complete. I mean, it's going to change internally. You know that something has changed. The Holy Spirit is living in you. But now you've got to learn how to live as a Christian. You know, there's something different. But how we learn to live as a Christian is through the Bible. We open our Bible up, and that is our blueprint of life, is the Bible. We learn to live as the Bible teaches us, as Christ teaches us. We learn to live godly lives by coming to church. We learn to live godly lives by being around other Christians and watching them. Is that a key word? Watching them, being good witness. I can't praise the Lord on Sunday, but you see me Friday night down at the Rendezvous Tavern getting liquored up, and I show up Sunday morning preaching and singing. That's not a good witness, is it? Am I making sense, darling? You and me, guys, I just called out and said, But we've got to live that. We've got to live that godly life. We've got to live as a witness. I'm almost done. The Holy Spirit is grieved not only because her conduct tarnishes God's good name, but is also because He loves and deeply desires to reward us for the obedience. If we do what the Lord tells us to do and we live a godly life, He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. But my question to you this morning is, we talked about the forgiving spirit. And we talked about this morning the lifestyle of forgiveness. We figured that out. We've learned that this morning, how we've got to live. But my challenge to you is, first thing we've got to do, we've got to have God in our heart. We've got to have the Lord in our heart to take control of our heart, to be able to learn and to understand and to live forgiveness. We have to. If all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if there's somebody here today that needs a touch from God, Lord, that needs that touch from you to give that forgiving spirit in their hearts, Lord, I just pray that you'd touch them, Lord, and that they would ask you to forgiveness and repent of our sins. We can't have nothing in our lives, Lord, that's going to be a barrier between our relationship with you. So I pray this, Jesus, that somebody here that needs you, Lord, I pray that they would be bold enough to step out and step up and ask you to forgive them, Lord. And I just thank you, Jesus, and I glorify your name. Amen.